Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
I want you all to listen to what I'm going to say. If I don't be able to keep this house, it's not that I didn't try.
Those are the words of 75-year-old Marshall Cooper of Dorchester. His story of foreclosure and his fight against eviction are part of a multimedia documentary exhibit that opens this weekend in Boston. It's called We Shall Not Be Moved. The project profiles six individuals or families who've gone to battle over their foreclosed homes with the help of the group City Life Vita Urbana, a local housing advocacy group. In another profile, we meet Ken Tilton, who tells the story of how he came to buy a house in Roxbury in 2004 with his partner, Frank.
Frank and I have met probably 30 years ago, but officially been together maybe 27 years ago. We were living on Warren Square in Jamaica Plain, and we decided to start looking for a house to buy. And then Frank heard about this one in Eggleston Square, and we pulled up, and I'm like, I'm not going in, because I hated the neighborhood. So Frank went in and came right on out. He said, it's perfect. And then I kept coming back, and I thought, yeah, it is a nice house. And then we bought it. We had two retail stores, one in Davis Square, one in Jamaica Plain on Center Street called Pluto, and then we owned a restaurant called Zahn's, which was in Hyde Square. We had good stuff going, but it was when Frank got sick that everything changed. Like, everything in my whole life went closed both stores. I couldn't afford this mortgage anymore.
Like all the men and women profiled in the documentary We Shall Not Be Moved, Ken's experience with foreclosure led him to get involved with City Life and help others in their battles to save their homes. Joining us now in the studio to talk more about City Life and her experience in documenting its work is Kelly Creedon, a local documentarian behind the project. Good morning, Kelly, and thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
As I understand it, City Life takes a sort of counterintuitive approach to foreclosure. Explain the model to us.
Sure. So City Life, rather than fighting the foreclosure, actually supports people after foreclosure and fighting displacement after foreclosure.
So the family that faced eviction actually gets to stay there, hopefully in many cases.
Mm-hmm. That's the idea, and that's what's happening in an increasing number of cases.
In their stories, a lot of these men and women say they feel some shame and embarrassment over the fact that they let their homes fall into foreclosure. Was it difficult for you as a documentarian to try to get these people to talk about their experiences?
Well, it's true. Foreclosure is something that people tend to handle privately. It's not something that people share with their neighbors or their friends or even their families or, in a lot of cases, their children. But City Life's model really focuses on encouraging people to tell their story publicly and to move beyond that shame and that guilt and embarrassment. And that helps. It helps people put a human face on the foreclosure issue. But it also helps people in their own process of dealing with their cases. And one thing that I found really interesting in recording these stories and talking to people in the movement is how that process of telling their story publicly has become something that has allowed them to feel more empowered in their situation. And that has, you know, finding their voice, telling their story publicly has allowed them to become community activists and to become people who have taken control of their situation and stood up for themselves and their communities and their neighbors and become leaders in this movement. And that's something that I think was a really powerful thing for me to hear from people.
Well, when you look at the documentary, you can clearly see that the part of the reason and clearly hear that part of the reason they're speaking out in your film is because they want to encourage other people to do the same.
Right. I think that's true. You know, one of the women I interviewed, Paula Taylor, was actually one of the early cases that City Life came out to support. And she was ultimately evicted after multiple eviction blockades in front of her home in 2008. But what she said when I interviewed her was that she felt that even though she had to leave her home, she didn't lose her case because the fact that she stood up and told her story publicly was encouraging other people to stand up and tell their story. And so even though that was embarrassing and difficult and, you know, not something that she felt comfortable doing, that she felt really good about how that impacted people who came after her.
City Life says it's now helped about 70 families repurchase their homes and currently has offers on another 38 properties. But of course, not every story can end happily. Even with the help of City Life, people lose their homes. We heard earlier from Ken Tilton, who was fighting to save his home in Roxbury. Has he been successful? Where is he now?
So Ken is still fighting his case. He is actually in the midst of fighting an eviction case and has a court date coming up in a couple weeks. So the end of his case is still unknown, but he is still fighting, and he's still very active in the tenant association defending other families as well.
Kelly Creedon, thank you very much for coming in and speaking to Morning Edition. Good to meet you, and good luck.
Thank you.
Kelly Creedon is a documentary photographer and multimedia producer. The opening reception for her project, We Shall Not Be Moved, about fighting foreclosure in Boston, starts tomorrow at 4 p.m. at the Great Hall in Dorchester's Codman Square.